Hello and welcome back to the Ten Pint Podcast. We're here with me, Lucas Normal and Beefham.
Yes, lad.
And today we have very special guest, professional footballer, Hope Akpan. How are you, mate?
I'm good. Nice to be here. Happy to be here.
Thanks very much for coming on. So you normally get started off with, what was your first like memory of football?
First memories of football are Liverpool, actually. Yeah, Liverpool on TV. Robbie Fowler and Michael Owen. I think it was an FA Cup game with Man United. That was the first ever game I remember in my head. And then just fell in love with it from there. My dad used to have a news agent, Picton Road. And like when he was no customers in the shop, I'd like wrap a ball out of newspaper and be kicking it around the shop. That was like my thing, do you know what I mean? Breaking stuff in the house. And just grew from there. Just loved the game, man. Loved it, loved the players, Michael Owen, all. Even the United players, even though I was from Liverpool, anyone who's on TV.
Yeah. You're a Liverpool fan growing up then?
I was a Liverpool fan, yeah. Big Liverpool fan growing up. Steve Gerrard, Michael Owen, Bobby Fowler, I loved them all. I'm not going to lie. But that's where it all started.
Yeah.
Literally, yeah.
And didn't you join Everton at the age of 8?
Yeah, so joined them early on. So as I said, I was playing in my dad's shop.
Yeah.
And few people used to come to the shop. Your son's always kicking the ball about. Do you want him to come and play for the local team just in Botanic Park? And obviously went down there, played a few games, joined their team. I literally didn't play long, like 6 months maybe playing for the Sunday League team. I remember one night we were playing a game and a scout come down. I didn't know. This is in hindsight.
Yeah.
Came to watch a kid for the other team called Lucas Dawson. But I think I scored 2 goals, played really well. Was flying, used to call me Twinkle Toes, the striker. And got picked up, Sid Benson. He's picked up loads. I think he's like well-known scout in Liverpool. Just said, you look lively, do you want to come and go for the trial for Everton? At the time, I didn't understand what he meant, because I was just used to playing Sunday League or in school. He said, do you want to come and get a trial in Netherton? I was like, where's Netherton? Didn't know where it was. He sorted out transport, got me down there. Obviously joined in the session, and literally one session signed. They were like, we want to sign you, want you to join the academy. Literally quick. And then that was that then, signed. And then obviously built up through the academy over the years, yeah.
What sort of players within Everton's academy at the same time as you?
Everton's academy, same time as me. Well, the well-known ones, my age, Jack Rodwell.
Yeah.
Jose Baxter, Adam Forshaw, they were all there from the beginning, from young Callum McManaman.
Yeah.
So like we had good play, like a good little crop. But as we got older, our age group, there weren't that many players. Jack Rodwell was in our age, but he didn't really play with us, he was always older. Like ours was just full of like not.
You tell he was like better.
Yeah. It was like with Jack. It was like one summer he came back and he was like a man. His body was just like, at that age, he was just more developed. And all of a sudden, he had like a left foot, could play both ways, could do turns off both feet. So I think he cracked it early on about like doing extra stuff away from the academy.
Mm.
So he was just miles ahead. Our team, my age, it was only me, Callum McManaman, Danny Redmond, might not know him, but we went on to play professionally.
Yeah.
There weren't too many from our age. We were like a tough team.
Yeah,
we weren't really the most skillful team. Yeah. The team below us, they were more skillful. That was Adam Forshaw, Jose, John Nolan, James Wallace. They had like a really good team, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we were just grafters.
That's what everyone wants, grafters. Yeah.
as we got to like through the years, like 14s, 15s, that was what we were, our age was known for. We were just tough. I had a manager or a coach called Sean London. He was just like a scouse fella, like on it. You know what I mean? He'd join in and like bully us a little bit, but it toughened us up.
Yeah.
And our team's like dead hard to beat. We'd go to the other academy teams like Man United, Liverpool, and we'd always give everyone a good game. We'd always like at the right end of the league.
Yeah.
But we just grafted together. We were like a good, solid team unit, like a good fun, good years, you know what I mean?
Were you always a central midfielder?
No, I said I was a striker as a young kid. But I don't know. I think I lost my pace early. So there was a little period where I dropped to centre back, and then there was a coach at Everton, Gary Ablett.
Yeah.
Like, well known, proper, and like one of the best coaches I've ever had, just for giving you confidence and advice.
Yeah.
And he sort of said, you're a centre mid, you need to play in centre mid, you've got composure, you're going to have the physique. I couldn't see at the time, but he was like, you're going to have the physique.
Yeah.
Just play the anchor role in centre mid and see how you go. I was about 14. And then from then on, I sort of stayed centre mid all the way through my career, really.
Yeah. Did you have much dealings with David Moyes at Everton?
Yeah. obviously, went through the academy. We were at Netherton to begin with, in Bootle. But then when I started YTS, we moved over to Finch Farm. Yeah. Like our first year, like proper scholarship, we moved over. So we had more access to the first team then. Obviously, we were still on our side and they were on the other side.
Oh, they were separate, yeah?
Yeah, it was like the same build. Oh, yeah, they were separate before that.
Yeah.
All the academy stuff was at Netherton.
Do you reckon it's better being sort of in the same building so you can sort of see the trajectory where you want to go?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You've got an idea of where you want to get to. You can see it. It's more visual. You see the players. You feel part of it a bit more. But at Netherton, it was like old school. It was like old shelters, cabins. Like the food was like beans on, like it was proper old school. But it was good, it was good fun, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And it was our thing, it was ours. So that was good as well. But going over to Finch Farm, obviously the facilities and being able to see the first team was inspiring. So yeah, it was important. But Moyes, obviously went through the youth team, signed professionally for Everton. And Moyes was the manager and Everton had a good team. Like, I don't know, when I was like 18, 19, the first team was Cahill, Arteta, Saha. So, like, really, in relative terms of the Premier League, that's the best Everton team for the last what?
Yeah.
The best Everton team recently, you know, in recent years. Would you agree, or?
Yeah, probably was.
In the league position.
In terms of league position,
Sixth consistent.
Exactly.
In European football, most
very
years.
Very close to Champions League one year. I think we got beat by
Villarreal,
yeah. So strong team, Cahill, Arteta, Fellaini, Yakubu, Saha, like good team. And Moisey was the manager and he was the commanding figure, Moisey, like a lot of presence, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I can imagine.
Like, I don't know what it was about him, he just had that presence.
Yeah.
And he used, because he'd been at Everton for so long, he was just the main man. Everyone respected him, do you know what I mean? No one would mess about.
Did you ever see him lose his shit?
All the time, like, I was on the bench a few times in the first team and travelled away to some games and he was like dominant, man, honestly. Like he'd be in the gym and he'd be on the treadmill just like boof, 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 just staring at pace for like an hour, just staring in one place. The gym would clear out, do you know what I mean, when he was in. He was that type of figure. But he was a good coach though, very detailed. Obviously, as you know, Everton were always hard to beat. He'd always set the teams up like a bit defensive, but they were so organised.
Yeah.
And he built a good team, built a solid team. As I've come through to sort of 18, 19, playing reserve football, played a few games, spoke to him a few times, he liked me. But at that stage, I wasn't really ready for the first team, looking back in hindsight.
In sort of like, in what way, like physically or just?
Just the level. Like, when I look back, the level was so high. Mm. Like, going from academy reserves, first team, you join in, especially the first few times I join in the sessions, I'd be like, fucking, this is a new language.
The pace quicker.
The pace, just the thought process, decision-making. Mm. Just the level was so high. But over time, you sort of adapt and sort of gravitate to it. And obviously, playing in a few games, playing Europa League, that dead rubber game where a lot of
against
the academy
played.
Yeah. So good experience. But he said to me, like, as he was sort of letting me go. So I've had a meeting with him, Alan Stubbs, Taff, they were like the reserve coaches. Mm. And he's gone, I like your hope, you know, you've grown, I can see your potential. But I just think you need to find your feet, maybe go somewhere else, lower leagues, and, you know, find your level, you know, gain some experience. And then he sort of like shook his head and was like, oh, but I think you've got potential. I think, you know, I'm thinking of giving you another year and seeing how. I'm sitting there like, give me another year. Like, yeah. But then he goes, oh, no, I think it's best if you go out and find your feet. And to be honest, it was a tough blow, but it really sort of made me the player I was, to be fair.
Yeah.
Bounced back really well and found my feet in the game from then on.
So what happened next then, like after Everton, like after you've moved?
Didn't you go Hull on loan?
I went Hull on loan, so that was more to sort of get a contract after Everton, more to the end of the season. So I played in the Championship, had a few good games, but again, it was the same sort of conversation. It was like, I think you need more experience to come into my team, because I think it was Nigel Pearson. He wanted someone to be ready to play 30 games the next season. And he was like, I like you, you've got unbelievable potential, but I just thought I need someone with a bit more experience, which is fair enough. So I ended up going down to Crawley Town.
Yeah, I've noticed on your debut, you got a goal and got sent off in the same
standard
game.
That sums up my career.
What happened
there? So I think it was, we played Wimbledon, which was like a local rivalry. So it was like intense. I mean, Crawley only used to get crowds of like 1,000, 2,000, but it was like a compact little stadium. You could hear every word from the fan.
Yeah.
So it was quite intense, and obviously scored on my debut. And just got two yellows, silly yellows, man. Got too excited. One was a bad tackle and one was like a handball or something stupid. But that just got my career going.
What's it like being sent off? You feel like you've let everyone down? Or are you just like, why have we just done that?
Yeah, yeah.
Quite a few at Crawley, didn't you, sending off?
Yeah, I did. In my younger years, I was over exuberant. And I was leggy, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So one of my favourite players was Patrick Vieira, growing up, Steven Gerrard, so I loved putting my foot in.
Yeah.
That was how I set my sort of tone for the game. But, there was a period where I got like four reds in a couple of months.
Yeah.
And I was getting a bit of a reputation, and refs at that level couldn't wait to like book me or send me off. They were waiting for it.
Yeah, I think it was 31 games, you got four red cards.
Is that what it was? Yeah, so got banned. I think it was like, yeah, 3-game ban, then it was like, all right, you've had 2 red cards, it's a 5-game ban. It was like 3-7. I was like, I'm missing loads of games here. Yeah. But yeah, just young and just enjoying the game. I used to, as I say, our team growing up, Everton, put your foot in. Like even our training games, like me, James Wallace, Jose. Yeah. Scouts that, like, the tackles we throw in, like, heavy, do you know what I mean? And I just took that into professional football and thought, how can I impose myself? That's what I need to do. And I used to do, but I used to get a bit carried away in those days.
That's good, especially in them leagues, though.
Yeah, you had to. Because
people say, like, they go down to, like, maybe League One from, like, Premier League, and, like, you just can't act the physical side
of it. Yeah. Especially them days, like, when you're young and you've been at an academy, you're wrapped in a bit of a bubble. It's tippy-tappy football. You know, you're playing with good players all the time, and then you go to a lower league team, and it's just like the balls over your head, just going to chase second balls. And I didn't get it at first. I think we had a manager, Steve Evans.
Yeah.
Scottish fella. Like
fella.
Big fella.
Yeah.
Big fella. Like, you get all sweaty and teeny talks in your face.
Is he the one who, when the team scores at Wembley, catch star falling down?
Very funny, Matt. Like, funny. And I respect him because he signed me and whatnot. But he was like, oh, mate, mad. So obviously, I think one of my first games where I realised it's different. So I think we were playing, I think it was a pre-season, first pre-season at that club. We were in Portugal. And getting the ball off the back play, spraying the ball, like just keeping the ball. Got the ball, played the pass, gone past, jogged on. He's like, hey, you. In a Scottish accent, you know what I mean? He's like, do that again, you'll be sat next to me. I've just kept the, what are you on about? I tell you what I'm about, I've just kept the ball. He went, get on the second balls, get up there. So it's a lot of that, those low leagues, and you have to adapt quite fast.
Yeah.
Like corners, big heavy fellas, you know, the fighting for 3 points. It's totally different to academy football. It's like life and death, and you have to adapt quite quickly. But because of those years in the reserves, Alan Stubbs, Andy Holden, Sean London, those sort of fellas who played the game, and they weren't afraid in training to like leave and on your own. Tell you every day, reinforce that, you know, it's hard being a professional, but it's not rosy. You've got to you know, roll with the punches and put your foot in.
Yeah.
So I had a little bit of that, and then just had to work, and I sort of got it quite early, which was lucky.
You won promotion at Crawley, so what was that like?
Yeah, it was good. Obviously went there and didn't know much about Crawley Town.
Yeah.
It was like hit by Gatwick Airport, like miles away from home, which was good for me though, to be fair.
Yeah.
Because I got away from Liverpool. Liverpool's a bit heavy on the football, like, you know, it's like everyone sort of...
Everyone knows everyone.
You know, we end up going out and whatnot. So it was good to just get completely away from it, totally new place, out your comfort zone a little bit, and just see what you're made of a little bit. And we've done really well that season. Crawley had just got promoted to that league, but they signed like a whole new team.
Yeah.
So good players for that level. So got promoted at Canter, really, that season. He left Steve Evans just before the season ended. Steve Coppell came in and sort of closed out the season, and we got promotion to League One. I mean, yeah, to League One. And then obviously signed again there.
Yeah.
Started the next
season. Why did he leave if you're getting promoted?
He's a character, Steve Evans, and he knows how to sort of work the circuit of football, low league football. So I think he had his eye on another job, and he done well, and it was a better fit for him, I think.
Yeah.
So he sort of like weighed it up and he got off. Yeah, yeah. He sort of coming.
So after Crawley, you moved to Reading. Was there any other offers as well as Reading?
Yeah, so I'd had a really good season, League One. I think before Christmas, I'd scored like 7 goals from midfield. Was like playing top form, playing really well. And that, it was January, the January window, when I knew I was going to move. Like the manager had said, like, this club's watching. I'd spoke to Crystal Palace, Aston Villa. But then we played Reading in an FA Cup game at Crawley. And I had a solid game, like played really well. We got beat, but we were probably the better team.
Yeah.
And I think... I had like the most tackles, the most passes, most interceptions in the game. And I think a few days later, I come home to Liverpool and I'm in bed. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to have to start getting ready to go back to Crawley. And I used to hate that drive because it's like 4 hours or whatever. Yeah. And the manager went, oh, stay at home. And I thought, does he know? Like, I've been out or something. Yeah. What's happened? He's like, don't come into training. I'm like, what's going on? He's like, oh, we've had that offer from Reading. You're going to go down there, I think, tomorrow and sign for Reading. I was like, am I? Yeah.
You don't get any say in that?
Yeah, you get a say.
Yeah.
But they wanted the money, obviously.
Do you know how much it was for?
Transfer to Reading? About 500 grand in the end. Yeah. So for Crawley, that was a good bit of business. So they wanted to accelerate, they wanted to make sure it happened. But I think it was good for both parties, of course. You know what
manager was it who took you to Reading then?
So it was Brian McDermott at Reading.
Yeah.
Premier League at the time, to be fair. So it was quite a quick, left Everton 18 months and then was back in the Premier League. So it was like a quick bounce back, to be honest, yeah.
Yeah, I've got wrote down here, you got 2 assists against Chelsea.
Yeah. So I think I made... debut at St. James's Park. Got a fluky assist there. If you watch the video, you'll see what I mean. I think, obviously, I've come on, we were losing 1-0. Got it back to 1-1. Newcastle had a good team. It was like Kabay, Demba Ba, Cisse, Pardew. But they were going through a tough time. So they've gone 1-0 up. Kabay's put like a free kick, unbelievable free kick top in. I've come on then, about 60 minutes. Got it back to 1-1. And players building up on the left-hand side, balls come across the box, it's been headed out. I'm thinking, oh my God, Premier League debut, it's coming to me on the half volley. I'm running up to him thinking, I'm like, this is it, like, this is my moment. I run up and in my head, I'm going, Gerrard, like in my head. I run up to him, if you ever see this on whatever, you'll laugh your head off. So I run up, I'm like, Gerrard, going to catch on the half volley. Absolutely miss hit it. Nearly fell over. But it's like spun off to Adam Lafondra, and he's whipped it in the bottom bin. So we're all celebrating. We win the game 2-1. But yeah, that was the first game. And then same again. We're losing at Chelsea 2-0 at home this time, the very next game. And I've come off the bench again. Got a pass, set up the first goal. Chelsea was like Lampard, like Juan Mata, Oscar.
Hazard?
No, not Hazard, not yet, not yet.
I like playing against them. Like Lampard in midfield. You're not intimidated?
Yeah, of course. Like, it's like people you've grew up watching, you know what I mean? And you know, he'd scored in that game, so you know he's still top level. And like, they've got a presence. Like, I don't know if you get close to some players, but you see them on TV, you don't think too much of them. But when you get, you know, shoulder to shoulder, you think, fucking hell, he's a big lad, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? But yeah, I've set one up again for Alf Adam Lafondra. And then again, last minute, last kick of the game, set another one up to get it back to 2-2. So I'm thinking, fucking hell, it's Premier League. Like, fucking easy it is. Had a little highlight on Match of the Day. good times. And yeah, that's another great part, like really enjoyable part of my career. Yeah.
It must just be like, who's the best, like Matt playing against them players, who's the best player you've ever played against?
So what's mad, the actual best players, I used to think anyway, were Evan when I was a kid. Obviously I weren't as developed or wasn't as had as much experience, so if you could play around me a little bit, I'd just be chasing them like a rabbit. But Arteta, PNR.
Yeah.
PNR could beat you without touching the ball. He just like a little feint, he just let it run across. These are things I'd never seen before, do you know what I mean? So Arteta, PNR were probably the best. But I played against I think it was Arsenal at the Emirates. And I remember Santi Cazorla.
Yeah. Both footed, man.
He was only about that big. He was like 4 foot. But like he just couldn't get near, like you physically, you're trying your hardest and you just can't get near, he's popping it off, he's Cruyffing you, he's coming back to Cruyff you again, just couldn't get near him, so he was one.
He's one of them players, isn't he, that no one sort of mentions anymore, Santi Cazorla?
Yeah.
Then I'm you sure, back I'm, on sh- a lot. I'm sure he nearly had to get like his leg, like, he had that bad of an injury, but then he's back playing at Villarreal like a year later.
Yeah. Nah, he was a serious, he's corners both feet, he was a serious player, you know. Who else? Juan Mata, good player. But I'd say Santi got that, just that game, because they fucking spanked us as well. Like I remember that at Reading, and he was just getting popped. I think it was 4-0 at the time.
Yeah.
And I remember Arsene Wenger saying to Arsenal, "I want you to play one touch." Like that's how bad it got. So they were just playing one touch, like once. And they like created like a chance for. I was like, "What's going on here? This is too much, man." So yeah, just for that game and that experience, he was probably.
Van Persie in that team?
No, he left. It was Walcott, Ramsey, Ozil. Yeah, that time. Yeah. So top players like.
What's it like being like 4-0 down somewhere like there? Do you give up in a way? Not give up, but
it's tough, man. And the pitch seems massive.
Yeah.
All the other players get faster, get more confidence. You get like in your shells. It's hard going, but as I say, I was just a player who just tried to nail someone if it got to that point. Yeah, probably try and get sent off.
Bet you agree for the booking on the bets.
Well, I don't know. You can get in trouble. No, you can't get in trouble now, but a lot of my mates used to be onto that. Yeah, not that I'd speak to them or anything, but. They'd always say, "Oh, lad, I had this on you for the early yellow." Yeah, I was one for a booking, man. It's just the way I played. I was just always on the edge. Get
fined for a booking?
Some managers did. And I used to hate it because I'm like, I'm playing this way for the team. Like, I'm not doing it for myself. Sometimes it's like a selfless yellow on the counter-attack and you want to stop the attack. And then you come and look at your payslip and be like, "Fine for a yellow card." I'm like,
how much are we talking? Like a couple of hundred or like grands?
No, it wouldn't be grands. It'd be a couple hundred quid.
That's still
it's heavy. Like I remember getting a red card one time. It was at Blackburn, and I think we were playing Sheffield Wednesday. Well, I'd scored in the last minute to equalise.
Is this when you pushed the ref?
I weren't a push. You what? I argue this day it weren't a push, but I've scored, thinking it a legit goal, and he's pulled it for handball. I've run like 40 yards. Everyone's protesting. I'm just running. Let me head. I'm like, and I get to the ref, and he walks towards me, and I'm like, I put my hands out and he must have ended up on his chest. And he's done this stumbling back. And then I saw something change in his eyes. I'm like, oh no, he's gonna do me. I still thought nothing of it. And then he just pulled out a red card, but I think it was more to deflect on the controversy of the last minute goal.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is it never a handball? No.
Never. It's hit my chest. It was like a quick deflection, but yeah. It hit my chest. And we were fighting for our lives to stay in the league that year. So like it was emotional, you know. I thought just save the team there, like potentially.
Yeah.
Big game for us. I'm just all flipped in a few seconds. End up having a big FA disciplinary because I pushed the ref. But he was kind of on my side, but he was like, listen, we still have to do something because it looks bad. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. What ban did you get for that then?
So I got a 4-game ban and I think I got two weeks wages as well.
Is that from the club, the wages?
From the club, yeah.
That's harsh, that, when you've scored like a legitimate equaliser.
It messed with me a little bit, you know, because I'm trying my hardest for the team. And then to get a ban, I think we're playing United the next game in the cup. So I missed that. And then to then get a fine on top. Yeah. I think they knocked it down to like 1 week. Still.
And the ref would just sort of second, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like you went, and just put up a push.
The ref doubled down, mate.
The ref like, dived. You got a yellow card while he's on the floor.
But I think it was just, yeah, one of them things when I look back and I don't regret it because I couldn't physically. I was just in the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
And I think he was a bit of play acting on his behalf, as I said, to sort of deflect from having to actually make the right decision. And that was a bit of a tricky one still.
Who were some of like the best characters you met in football then?
Oh, it's loads, like, yeah. A few funny managers over the years. I'd say Steve Evans was mental, mate, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, say Big Lad, weren't he? And we had a game. I think we played Fleetwood away. Long journey from Crawley. It's like, six and a half hours, like the other end of the country, and we've gone there and we got beat 6-0, and we were up in the league. They weren't anywhere, but I don't know what happened. We just got beat 6-0, and the assistant or one of the ladies who coordinates everything had ordered like fish and chips for the lads for the bus. Mm. Obviously, she didn't know what the score was going to be, so we've got on the bus and there's all this fish and chips at the back. But Steve Evans like, no one touched the fish and chips. Nobody, I dare anyone to touch them. So obviously you've got this 6-hour journey back. The lads are getting a bit hungry, like the chips are smelling nice on the back. Then you start seeing a few of the lads rustling through the chips and start sharing a few of the boxes out. And halfway through the journey, Evans gets on the mic at the front. He's like, listen, lads, fucking, I hold my hands up. We made a few mistakes. Got a big game on Tuesday. Let's get back to Crawley and, you know, we'll train tomorrow. Let's dust ourselves off. So forget about it. There's chips on the back. Everybody took in. There's enough for everybody. So I was like, yes, here we go. Start sharing out all the chips. Obviously, some of them have gone because the lads have been diving in. So obviously, it works from the back to the front, handing them out. Get to the front. All the staff have got is not for the staff. The players have already half dived in. So he's like, Wait, you can just see like commotion at the front from the back. All the lads fucking giggling away. He stops the coach starts pulling over to the hard shoulder on the M6. Gets on the mic again. He's like, lads, we're not moving until I get my chips. Like, where's the chips for the staff? Obviously the lads are like, no one's saying nothing. But like, we were on the hard shoulder for like 45 minutes. I was trying to figure out who's going to own up to eating the chips. So the captain ended up having to say like, listen, I think some of the lads, he was like, how dare you guys? How dare you? Right, that's it. He's in tomorrow. Train at 8 and we're not leaving until 4. You know what I mean? That journey back, like, everyone was silent, no one making no noise. All the lads are just chucking chips, mate. So he was mad. Owen Coyle, another manager at Blackburn, was just, I don't know, as a manager, I think he let us down as a team. I don't think he was, from comparing him to other managers that I've had, I think his level and his attention to detail let us down at that level, championship level.
Yeah, yeah.
But as a character, he's funny as fuck, man. Honestly, always joining in training. Always like, he was having it. He was a striker, and he had a good career.
Yeah.
So
he played for Rangers.
Yeah, he played for Rangers. Yeah. So he was always talking about how good he was at football. Always yeah, joining in. He was like old and stiff, but he could still like hit a volley. It's like we'd always just want to do finishing. He'd always just want to do finishing so we could join in. But he had an unbelievable volley on him. So with the ball coming, he'd go, Kyle! Volley and put it in the bottom bin, put it in the stanch. But we just never do training. We never train. We just do heads and volleys so we could join in.
Everyone's boss of finishing.
Oh, let me unbelievable finishing, but we didn't know what formation we were playing at the weekend. Do you know what I mean? We were playing, I think we were playing United in that cup game that I mentioned before. And like, we were trying to do tactics because all season we just struggled with like our formation. We were playing 4-4-2 and all the lads were like, we need to play a different formation. We need to be more solid. So we finally like got quite solid and picked up a few results. And it was like, all right, like I had like a 2-hour meeting where he wasn't in there. We just called it on ourselves. I think it was around Christmas. He was like having Christmas dinner. We're having like... on the video trying to analyse like how can we get better lads, like we need to do that. We're in there for 2 hours. He comes on the voice machine at Blackburn like, lads, the turkey's getting cold, you need to. I'm like, you're the manager, like you should be doing this. But we done it, got a few results, started like working up the league a little bit, and then we had that cup game against United and we're doing 11v11 like tactics for the game, and it's going a bit pear shaped, like the lads are not agreeing, we want to be a bit more defensive. He's like, no, we just need to get at them. So halfway through, he was like, scrap it. I'm not doing none of that. We're playing United. We just see how it goes. We go there. If we turn up, we turn up. If we don't, we don't.
That's nuts, Dash.
What a mentality you still have as a manager.
The lads are looking like, what's going on here? But we had a good team. Like, we should never have been in the position we were at that club. We had some... Danny Gray and Ben Mark, like top good players for that level.
Did you end up going down?
Yeah, we ended up going down, but
went back up the season.
Went back up the season after. So Tony Mowbray came in at the end of that season. He was like top draw manager. And we picked up some points, but just didn't quite make it. But I knew he was going to build a team. But I sort of wanted to stay in the Championship looking back.
Yeah.
So I left to go to Burton, but they bounced back up. The team was too good.
During this time, I've seen that you had four caps for Nigeria.
Yeah.
What was that like playing for, like, obviously your country?
Unbelievable. Like, especially for my family. My mum and dad are Nigerian. Been back over there a few times. So it was a big honour. Yeah. Like, I've got a lot of family there who were always like watching my career, always messaging me. So to play for the national team was mental. Like, big honour. And like one of the best experiences of my life, really. Again, they had some players, man, like John Obi Mikel, Ahmed Musa, some really like top quality players, Igalo, Jude. So that was an experience, and it's a different style, it's a different like different flavour of football, but it's football at the end of the day. Do you know what I mean? But the fans, like, oh my god, like you turn up at the airport and there's thousands of fans waiting for you. It might be 5 in the morning, beating the drums, playing music, like, it's fucking electric, like, yeah.
Who did you play against?
So we played World Cup qualifiers. So we played against, another African team, Zambia, Congo, different teams. But, like, going to all them different countries, like, the atmosphere, I can't explain to you. Like, obviously, you played in big stadiums in England, 60,000. But, like, you're kind of used to that. Roaring that crowd over there, it's like it's so intense.
Yeah,
like even just the national anthem, after the fans are screaming, it's like electrifying, like proper. And the football's a bit different, it's like you get dead happy about like skills and good play, you know what I mean? So that's worth more than a goal sometimes. So like, you do a bit of good skill and all of that, celebrating like a goal, do you know what I mean? So, good experience, like unbelievable. But as you said, characters, like football's full of characters, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, in all honesty, being a footballer, you're allowed to be like a kid for longer, do you know what I mean? Yeah, always in that dressing room mentality, always playing, pranks on each other, all that sort of carry on, do you know what I mean? So there's loads of characters, man, loads. Yeah. Loads.
And Like, did you move to Finland after Burton and Bradford?
Yeah, yeah.
How does that sort of come about?
So obviously I played at Bradford Blackburn 3 years, Burton 3 years. Speaking of characters, Nigel Clough character. Jesus Christ.
Was he Burton manager?
Yeah. Top man.
Were you there the year he got to the semis of the League Cup?
Got beat by City?
I think I'd left the season before.
Oh, actually, yeah.
It was the season before me.
Yeah.
But top. Good club, Burton. Like, smaller club.
Yeah.
But, like, at that time, it was an experience because it was, like, dead tight-knit. There was only a few members of staff. It wasn't like Blackburn where you got loads of people behind the scenes or Reading or Everton. It was like dead tight-knit. And Cluffy like controlled the club. He was like Moisey.
Yeah.
Like it was mad, mate. He was like the man. Like he'd be at training, like all the staff, and he'd have his top off, do you know what I mean? Bare chest. Again, I don't know what it was about, but he loved volleys again. Like before training. Cluffy was a ball, like he was played good level, do you know what I mean? Play for Liverpool.
Yeah.
So he just do cross and he loved the volley, mate. If you looked at some pictures of him like before games, and he'd be out on the pitch, like him and his coaching staff, just volleys into the goals, mate. But he used to bring his dog to the games. His dog would run around the dressing room like before the game.
That's
yeah.
mad.
Yeah, yeah. Like a lot of lads who like trying to get in the team would like show loads of attention to the dog because he loved the dog. You know what I mean? Oh, come here, oh, Cluffy. I'm like, oh, yeah, chat about the dog. Like, get them in the team, do you know what I mean? Yeah. But he was a character. He could go off Cluffy, man. Jesus. I had it with Cluffy a few times. Early on, I was in and out of the team. I'd sign there to play, like, be one of the main players. And for whatever reason, just wasn't playing. And I was about to go on loan to Portsmouth, and he sort of blocked it. So I was like, whoa. Why have you blocked? Like, why have you done that? I'm not playing here. Let me go. And we had like a standoff in the dressing room. It just happened. I'd walked in. He was on his own. I hadn't been playing for ages, and I was like, I'm gonna have to ash it out now because we'd have conversations, but it would always be like political, like around the training ground, and you'd never really get a clear cut answer.
Sort of get hold of a manager.
Sometimes,
have a conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Because
obviously everyone's there, isn't that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're trying not to upset things too much, but you want to get your point across.
Mm.
But I hadn't played for weeks, and I was like, I've had a loan opportunity and you blocked it. So I sort of come in the dressing room, he was coming out. I've just sort of like cornered him, not letting him pass me. I'm like, what's going on? And he's like, what do you want to do? I'm like, I want to play. And we were struggling. I was like, I think I'm betting, like I'm watching the games and we're kind of dog shit, like, let me play. I said, give me two games, see where I'm at. And if I'm as bad as everyone else, then I won't say a word. You don't have to play me again. And from that point on, I think I played every game that to the end of the season. And done really well. We were like, I think we got to the last game. Obviously, we were betting in the championship. We were always going to sort of struggle. But we put up a good fight. I think went down to the wire last game. And I think we were playing Preston away. All we need to do was better Bolton's result. And losing 1-0, but they go down to 10 men. I score about 70 minutes. 1-1, staying up. Bolton are getting beat. So I'm like, fucking hell, it's right, we're staying up. But then we should have just gone for the win. Like, we sort of played it cautious. Like, we don't want to get beat. They're getting beat. Just keep it cautious. Yeah. Staying up, everything's rosy. And then it got to like 85 minutes and we're hearing that Dave scored, equalised.
Who's telling you that? That you just heard it from the fans?
Just from, I don't know how it spreads, but you just hear it. I think they had a radio on or whatever on the side. And they said they've equalised, but it's 85 minutes. Just still keep it like 1-1. I'm thinking in my head, if we just score, it doesn't matter what happens, we stay up. And then we've heard Dave brought it back 2-1. So then we're fucking gung-ho. Everyone's getting forward. We end up losing the game fucking 2-1 because everyone was just in the box, you know what I mean? Trying to score. So we end up going down the last day. But Cluffy was a character. And then I went to Bradford. Spent 2 years there. And then towards the end of the second season, it was COVID.
Yeah.
So the season stopped in March. And they were like, they let a lot of players go. Because at that level, we were paid quite well for that level.
Yeah, they've got a big club, aren't they?
Big club, yeah, ground's massive. They expect loads. It's like a, at the time, it was like a hard place to be at because the fans were just, they had this expectation that they were a Championship Premier League club.
Yeah.
So, like, if it was nil-nil at half-time where you went, because they were play teams in League Two, like, I don't know, don't want to disrespect anyone, but, like, Forest Green, those type of teams were in that league. So when we play them and not be winning by two or three goals, they'd be like, what's going on? Fucking hell. The atmosphere would turn sour quick. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it was a tough place to play sometimes. But then when it was, when you were doing well, you had 18,000. So it was like the best place.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like a catch 22 at Bradford. But we went into lockdown, didn't play, obviously, all that summer. I had a few offers, again, like down south in different places, but nothing really jumped out to me. I was just staying fit.
Mm.
And then I had a coach that I knew out there in Finland, and he was like, listen, we've got an opportunity for you. Do you fancy it? I didn't really have much else on at the time. So I thought, why not? Went out there. And it was just, it was difficult. It was just so different. Like, obviously no one spoke.
In the top league?
Top league over there. It was a good level. Like, it surprised me. The level was good.
Mm.
But there was just so much cultural differences.
Is the language barrier language very hard?
Barrier was mental.
Do you speak Finnish? Do they have their own language or?
Yeah, they speak Finnish, but Finnish is like Chinese. It's like
did you pick up on any of it?
No, mate. No. Try
most of their players from there as well.
Most of them. There's quite a few foreign lads, like randomly. They'd be loads of South Americans.
Yeah.
But mainly Finnish. And the hardest thing for me was it was winter. It was like minus 20 degrees.
Mm.
So you couldn't play outside for like the whole winter.
Yeah.
So they'd have official games indoors in like a dome on Astro. So psychologically, mentally, I didn't adapt. I couldn't adapt to it.
Was the fans there inside?
No. Sometimes he was, but it was like, it was mad, mate. It was like,
so that's weird, though. Yeah.
It was like, sometimes you play in like massive halls. Like, I just couldn't adapt to it.
Yeah.
Where were they sort of in the league, that team?
They were all right. They were expected to get...
SJK.
SJK, yeah. They were expected to finish in the Europa League places.
Yeah.
And they ended up finishing in Europa League.
What's that like, third, is it, in that league or something?
So you have to finish in the top half, and then it's like a sort of playoff.
Yeah.
I think, or the top three get a playoff to finish, see who finishes first. Yeah. The top three get European football, if you know, top two. So yeah, we actually finished in, I think they got into the Conference League that season.
Yeah.
But I just found it super hard to adapt, mate, yeah.
How long were you actually there for?
Just, I was there for like 7 or 8 months. Yeah. But like, I found it tough. I had a little girl at the time. And it just changed my mood on football. Like, I wasn't enjoying it.
You're out there by yourself?
Sometimes out there with my missus and the baby in, like, a small apartment. Didn't know anyone. It's freezing all the time. Snow.
That sounds grim. Is it that dark?
It's the opposite. So, like...
Was it always light?
It's always light.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was just strange. I tried, but just didn't adapt well. And I sort of fell out of love with the game a little bit, like, because it was always light. I was always on, it was an amazing golf course by where by where the team was. So I'd be on the golf course at like 1 a.m. because it's still light, do you know what I mean?
Is it hard to sleep in there?
Yeah, you need the blackout curtains or you just had no chance. Yeah, it's mad. But so I just called it a day, I think, around August and just came back before the season finished, really. Just had a mutual understanding. It's like, I'm not enjoying this at all. I just want to get back home and come back home, yeah.
So you're a witness now, aren't you?
No. I've got a few mates in the football world, obviously. So wherever they go, coaches or players, they just register my name just in case I want to kick about or want to get fit. But I haven't played for well over a year now, to be honest.
Do you think you'll ever get back into it?
I haven't like officially retired or anything.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I've been watching the World Cup a lot. I stopped watching football a little bit.
Mm.
Just into different things. I'm one of them people, I can only focus on one thing.
Yeah.
So if I'm trying to do something else, I can't really dibble and dabble.
Yeah.
I can't give half of myself and be somewhere else. So I did try. I was at Macclesfield this season actually. Because they're trying to have a push, go up league. Robbie Savage is there. Like, it's a good setup, good players for that level. They're going to piss the next three leagues or whatever and get like five promotions or whatever. And I was there, but I just couldn't I couldn't juggle both what I'm doing now and what they wanted, a lot of commitment.
Was that part time or was it full time?
It's part time, but it's like daytime, so it's kind of full time. They wanted full time commitment, really.
Yeah.
For that level, and I just couldn't commit to both. Do you know what I mean? I found my mind was elsewhere. Do you
is that like the same league? Is that like step seven?
In the did same league as Bootle Bucks.
Yeah, Bootle beat them, didn't he?
Yeah, 2-1 the other week.
Did they? I haven't got a clue.
Yeah.
But it's quite a few levels down, like.
Yeah.
But they they should be pissing the league, right?
I think it's sort of the same model as like Salford, isn't it?
Is it? Yeah. They're doing it the right way. They're doing it properly. They've got good coaches. Mm. Robbie Savage is there. He's always in the round. I think he picks the team. He says he's like the owner, but he's right.
I've seen a documentary on it. Yeah. Did he have like a AstroTurf pitch?
Astro. It's all right, but again, I just mentally just wasn't really there. Do you know what I mean? So I'm not the person to just hang around just for the sake of it.
Yeah.
I'm either there or I'm not. Do you know what I mean? And my mind was just elsewhere. Yeah.
What was your favourite ever football moment you've had in your career?
Favourite ever football moment? It's probably playing back at Goodison for Reading. Because it was quite quick, and obviously, you leave Everton. I still had a lot of mates there, and you'd hear things about what coaches would say, and they were like, "Fucking hell, Hope's got a good move there," and he did it, those things, and then to go there and sort of prove myself that I can't be at that level was massive for me. You know, you've been there your whole life, you get rejected a little bit, you're down in the dumps, you have to build yourself up, you have to do it yourself. You don't, there's no one else who's going to help you. Do you know what I mean? It's either you do it or you fall by the wayside.
Mm.
So to get back there after 18 months, play Goodison, full crowd, all my family there, all my mates there, that was it was significant for me personally, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was and it was still the same players at Everton. It was the Fellainis, the Baines, so Jagielka. So it was nice to see them and them see me, if you know what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah.
No, that was good.
So sort of what happened next? And obviously you've got your business.
So I've got a business in South Manchester called Plant Boost. It's like a health eatery, so we specialise in superfoods and just healthy food, juices, smoothies, a few food pieces as well. Just from football, you've always been into nutrition, always trying to be at your peak. I used to find, if you ask any of people who played with me, I always had mad supplements and different things that I'd always try to try and get the edge.
Yeah.
Because as a footballer, I always struggled with injuries and stiffness. I always had stiff joints. Do you know what I mean? I always used to think, what's going on? Why do I have these things? And I always used to research and find different things that would try and help. But it was really bad. Even going back to Sunday League, I'd play in games as kids, 10. I'd play the game. And then all the kids would be running around after the game playing heads and bees, and I'd be sitting there, my legs would be sore. So I've always had these little issues. So I always studied all these different superfoods and herbs and stuff to try and help with inflammation and different things. So I've just implemented that into the business and into the eatery.
What would you say your best scran is?
Our best scran? Yeah. So there's a few different ones. So the popular ones are the acai bowls. If you go to America or you go abroad, Bali, those sort of beach plate, you see them loads everywhere. It's like a smoothie in a bowl, a bit thicker, with a bit of granola, fruit toppings, so dead healthy, but really nice, got a chocolate taste, really nice. And we do a banging avocado toast, cracked pepper, tomatoes, really nice, mate,
Sounds up your street, all that's going on,
doesn't it? Absolutely. You need to come along, man, get on the right path, man. But that's really good, where we are, got some exciting things coming for next year.
How did you have the idea, though? How did it just come to you to do that?
So, do you know what? It was the first lockdown. It was me and my missus, and obviously I was always making smoothies and juices at home. Mm. She was like, these are really nice. Let's look into it a bit deeper. And we were going to do a little juice bar in Liverpool. But we just thought, let's just try a delivery type thing and put it on Instagram, see how it goes. And we just used to get orders all the time. People would say, oh, can I have 5 on Monday? Can I have 10 on Friday? Loads of people used to, obviously I knew quite a few people, so I started that way, and then loads of people used to get in contact with us. Tony Bellew was a regular customer. They put it on the stories, and it just spread from there. So you were fucking hell, people love these bowls. Used to be mad. We used to be in the kitchen with 200 of them all on the table, and we'd have to get them out delivered. I had mates, fucking cousins delivering them all over. We were just delivering everywhere, like north side, south side, just getting it out there. We realised we had a bit of a buzz. So then when I went to Finland and it weren't working, I started thinking, all right, let me just think if we can do something here. So me and my partner just dug our heels and found a location and just went for it. And it's been good so far, man. Surprises, yeah.
Well, what's the Instagram after anyone watching?
That is the Plant Boost. We get, do you know what? We get scouts all the time. Like, because we start in Liverpool, they all travel down there. It's like a little day trip to come down and have the acai bowls, get a lot of footy players in.
Yeah.
So we, not name dropping any, but we had fucking gigs and Nicky Button coffees and juices in the morning.
Yeah.
Curtis Jones comes in a lot. A lot of the Man United boys, Scott McTominay. I don't know why it's all Liverpool and Man U. Never any Everton boys. I don't need to get onto them.
But our players don't like healthy scans.
Michael Keane's probably in the Burger King as
well. That's not really on, So yeah, weirdly, it's not the Everton. It's more the like we get the Brazilian Liverpool boys in a lot because acai is Brazilian.
Yeah,
they're right. We get ours imported directly from the Amazon.
Yeah.
So over there, it's like staples like fish and chips.
How did you organise like that to come from the Amazon?
Just contacts. You do your research, find out. We got lucky a bit in terms of our supplier. Got in contact, and she's actually her grandmother. Lives in the Amazon, so we've got like a direct link to like the product. You know what I mean, Debbie? So we get it in. It's like the highest grade. So other places can't like. We're the best in the UK, easy for like our quality, and. It's big things coming. It's heavy stateside. You go to America, all these spots are everywhere.
They tend to then, like, sort of come a few years later.
Drift over. Yeah. So that's the whole idea. We just want to be ahead of the wave. But we've got some exciting stuff coming next year. We want to come back to Liverpool. So we're just trying to figure that out and find locations. We're struggling where we fit in Liverpool. But we'll figure that out and we'll come here, yeah.
Do you like meal preps for people?
Well, no, we do juice cleanses. Yeah. We do juice cleanses. Don't do meal. We don't do a lot of food. It's more wet produce. Mm. So in the summertime, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But we've just got to ride out the winter, and then next year we've got some really exciting stuff coming, man. Yeah.
Going back to your football career, if you have to pick a five-a-side team of players you've played with, who would you have in it?
Players I played with.
Owen Coyle up front.
Owen Coyle and Nigel Clough for the volleys. Best heads and bees. If you want to play heads and bees, you're not winning against them, I tell you. In goal, probably go. Who would I go with? Go with Alex McCarthy. That Redden.
Redden, yeah.
Yeah, he plays Premier England, League. Doesn't he? Played for England. Yeah. He was just a cat, mate. Like lanky, about 7 foot. But like just silky, everything was easy. Like we weren't even trying, and he'd pull off worldies all day, like smoking ciggies and gold. Cat. At the back, who would I go with? Played with, yeah. Probably go. It's gonna be heavy, Evan, because just that level was so high. So I'd go. Jagielka, if I was going to go at the back.
Was Lescott there as well?
Lescott was there, yeah. It's a proper nice fella. I know him now, speak to him now and again now.
Yeah.
Real nice fella, Joe Lescott, yeah. But I go Jags, just add a bit of everything. Play.
Is he still playing though?
I think he is, yeah.
40, I think.
Yeah. Model pro. So I go Jags. I go Bainesy.
Yeah, solid choice.
Just baller. Just
unbelievable.
Like,
should have left really. I know it's great that he did stay, but for him, I think he should say if he left, I went to Arsenal.
When would he have left though?
I think around time Moyes went to United.
They came in for him twice.
And he didn't go.
No, I think he chose to stay.
Scouser Bainesy though, you know, like he's Indian, he?
He's just chilling. You see him with all like Alex Turner.
He'd literally be perfect for this podcast, babe. Going into that then tunes
classmate,
and that.
Yeah.
Don't forget
that.
Like,
he ties in with your music. Yeah. And all. Bainesy was chilled, mate. Like,
yeah.
Nicest fella. but baller. Him and, there was a period down the left, him and Pienaar.
Oh, yeah, unbelievable.
Like, I don't watch much of Everton as much these days.
I don't believe you.
But as Everton fans, how do you compare? Because I was obviously very close at that time. How do you compare it to now?
I think the whole club's got a different feel. Like, it, I don't know what it was then. I don't know if it's because they're better at marketing and that. We were speaking about this the other day.
Better marketing then or now?
You were better marketing the team now, because we were much better then.
Yeah.
Couldn't sell out. But now we sell out every weekend.
Is
we're
it?
Not good. It's weird. Do you know what?
I think the dynamics of football have shifted a little bit.
And social media plays into it as well. Massive,
It's just, I don't know, with me now, like, I'm still a season ticket holder.
Yeah, yeah. Where'd you sit?
Lower buns.
Yeah, yeah.
Posts everywhere in front of me. But I've sat there for too long now.
Wait, I never used to, I remember my first ever game. I went with like one of the fellas from my dad's shop. He was like, mad Everton fan. Took me to like Bradford v Everton. I got the bus down there, like mad. And I got there and I couldn't see nothing. But yeah, what were we saying?
Yeah, so like the season tickets, they've went up in price again, which, by the way, for anyone watching, is an absolute disgrace.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it went up 10% last year,
yeah,
and it's went up 10% this year, even though on half of them, it's more than 10%, it's a 10% average, they're saying.
Like, I'm across the living crisis as well.
Yeah.
Team aren't much better either.
But that, like, I went up ranting about them in 15 minutes, but looking back on the team then, like, players like Baines, Jagielka, Pienaar, like, you felt like you had a bit of hope. Like, back then, I don't know, because as a kid, I was thinking, oh, we have a chance to do something here.
Yeah.
Whereas now, it's just like, I'm
it had like an identity, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it was sort of like the Everton, I was on a bit cringe, but the Everton way, weren't it? It was
But that was massive growing up
through
the ranks. The Everton, that phrase, you'd hear it all the time.
Yeah.
We'd have like presentations every year at St. George's, and it'd be like collages of the Everton way and how we do things and who our identity. Like, that was heavy.
Yeah.
And Moyes was like heavy on that.
I think it's because he was there for such a sustained period of time.
Yeah, yeah.
But now, because we've been chopping, changing managers, it's harder, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I'd love it to work for Lampard, and I really would. Mm. And like, I don't know, I just like this season for me, if we finish 14th, that's probably a success. That's great.
It's sad to say.
Like, I looked at the league, because I seen a few games and they pulled off a few wins. But then I looked at the league and it was like 18, like 17th, is it?
Mm. 17th, but we've just been beat 3-0 by Bournemouth before the World Cup.
And we got beaten the same week 4-1.
Yeah.
In the cup.
What's going on there?
I don't know.
It's heavy, you know. Like, last year, cup, as Blues, yous must have been, like, that was
horrible.
You was on the way, weren't you?
We went to the Burnley one away, and we got beat 2-1.
3-2.
And it was just like,
you're thinking, like, this, it could be.
Yeah.
Could be that, yeah.
I thought it was curtains, me.
Did
like,
you? Yeah.
That Palace game was probably a miracle.
Yeah.
Lad. But yeah, I don't know. That, as I say, that era, like trying to get into that Everton team, was mental, because the ballers.
Yeah.
He only got in, all the young lads only got close because he was mad injuries that year. Do you know what I mean? Like, half the team was injured, so we all got dead close. Like Jose, James Wallace, we were all travelling all the time with the first team. But like their team, Cahill.
Yeah. My favourite player, I'd say.
Yeah,
for Everton. Yeah. Yeah,
baller. But even like the players like Tony Hibbert and Phil Neville, you wouldn't think much of them. They'd be the players you think, all right, 1v1 with him. All right,
yeah.
But you get there and he'd still be ballers.
Solid,
you know,
pros.
Solid, yeah. They just do the right things.
Yeah.
Leon Osman, baller.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Underrated baller.
Was really.
So like that team, and Osman wouldn't even get a game sometimes because he was just other players. Arteta.
It's just like, I'm so good at the fact that like, we were a bit like, last time we got in Europe, we were only like 16.
Yeah, we were too young, yeah.
Like 21 now, I'm like, have we got in Europe before I have fucking kids? Like, do you know what I mean?
It's mad when you put it like that. As a proper fan, like, you were this close from the Champions League one year, weren't you?
Yeah.
At least we had Europa League runs where you could play, play Benfica one year. Lad, I was on the bench, we went to Benfica. I think we got roasted because we had loads of injuries.
Oscar Cardozo. Did he score a lot? Did he score twice or something?
If you go back to their Benfica's team, at
Pablo Aimar.
Aimar.
Yeah, yeah.
Di Maria.
Yeah.
Ramirez. Went to Chelsea.
Yeah.
David Luiz.
Yeah.
Contrao.
Fabio Contrao. Yeah, Real Madrid.
Cardoza.
That's your team, man.
Lad.
Did we get beat at home against them as well?
2-0. That was 5-0 away.
Away, yeah. I'm sitting on the bench, yeah. Lad, it was mad. They have like an eagle. that flies on the pitch before the game. Like, the atmosphere was nuts.
The ground's massive too, isn't it?
There's a few young players playing. I think Jose might have got a game or he come off the bench like quite early on.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there. I think that was one of the only times in my career where I didn't want to. I'm watching it, Benfica, just goal. And like, obviously, there was loads of injury. The bench was short. And I think a few players went down. I'm like, Moyes like, come on, I'm like, shit. But yeah, that's the level of it. They were there, do you know what I mean? But I think the Premier League in the last 5 years has got even better.
It's not, it used to be top four, didn't it?
Used to be top four now.
Like top six.
Top six. The top 10 teams are like, got good players, mate. They're spending big money, do you know what I mean? So if you don't keep up or you don't buy right, you can get in trouble quite quick.
It's been an
issue. It's like even like a year ago, you look at Newcastle, they seem dead and buried. They've had the takeover. And now their team, now flying. I feel like Everton are miles away from that.
Miles away.
They've just bought good players. They bought like. Like Dan Bain. No one mentioned him, solid player, Trippier, model pro, won the league in Spain. Then you've got like that little bit of Bruno midfield playing for Brazil in the World Cup.
You've got to buy right, haven't you? Everton, maybe not recently, but like a couple of years ago, like 3-4 years, signings are fucking mad, man.
It's scary.
Some of them, not like Davy Klaassen, we signed him, didn't really get much of a chance. He's playing for Holland in the World Cup. Yeah. And it's like, why is he not called it an Everton?
We spent 45 million on a man who shall not be named.
Well, Gilfy, yeah.
Gilf.
These are, like, I don't say anything about players because obviously I play at the level. They're obviously good players, like, but at that level, you have to produce, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to produce. The game demands it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think Everton, I've struggled as of late, but. You see, I don't know. It's a bit of a shame, isn't it, really, from where they were.
It's like even the fucking cup draw the other night, United away. Can't even have some false hope.
So what do you think? Do you think you should stay up?
I don't know. I hope so. No, honestly, like, I don't know.
All I want is the last 6 weeks of the season not to be sat there, like, having sleepless nights again. That was all of last year.
I hope they're just on the beach by then. The only thing that I think that might save us this season is like the centre halves, Cody Tarkowski.
Tarkowski goes
solid. Like Pickford's always, he's world class keeper, isn't he? Pickford, like.
So where do you think's the weak? Because even Iwobi's playing well, hasn't he?
Yeah.
It's just going forward. We have not be off. We don't often do we?
It's because the Mopay's not great, and then Calvert-Lewin's literally. Calvert-Lewin's like already injured in his head. I think a lot of the time, like he's injured so much, and it's sly on him. But he's just never going to be that fit. Like,
I mean, it's hard when you have injuries. Been there a little bit, but as fans, you expect, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's number nine, isn't he? You want him to be.
Yeah. As a player, do you know if you've had like a few like injuries? Yeah. You're always thinking about it. Do you have like a split second where you think, another challenge going in, and you're like,
I had a weird injury all my career. Like, when I was at Reading, I dislocated my shoulder.
Mm.
Playing for Nigeria, actually. Just a freak accident popped out. You're playing Congo or something, somewhere mad. And getting rowed to hospital, like in some, it felt like a wheelbarrow. This so my shoulder's out and I'm bumping around along the road. I'm thinking, what's going on here? Gets to like a hospital, and like they couldn't get it back in, so they had to put me to sleep. To put me to sleep, and I'm like, I'm dozing off, and I can just hear them arguing in French, like. Like hostile, I'm thinking, fucking, I was like, God, just let me wake up with my arm, do you know what I mean? It's just dislocated, like, just put it back in. So don't chop it, don't do nothing mad, do you know what I mean? But I struggled with that through my career. I had surgery, got back, but was always like, you know, playing in midfield, you have to have eyes in the back of your head. And I was always worried that I was going to fall and it was going to happen again. And it did happen again, happened at Bradford. And this time I didn't have surgery. So, like, every two games, halfway through the game, I'd have a fall, shoulder slides out. I'd have to pop it back in. And like for 10 minutes, I'd be running around like in agony. And then the adrenaline of the game, you just sort of get through. But then for the next two games, you like half the, you couldn't run. I used to wear a big sling, but I couldn't play in it. So I'd take it off, risk it. I used to strap it up massively, couldn't like run properly. So it affected me massively. So it does, injuries do play the part.
Yeah.
So sometimes as watching a game from the sidelines, you don't see it or you don't understand it, but it does play a big part sometimes. Yeah. Someone's had like a reoccurring injury, it does play on the mind and it does affect them. It does affect them.
For you, who's the GOAT?
The GOAT in football?
Yeah.
Well, all over.
Yeah.
It's Messi, isn't it? Gotta be.
Reckon, yeah.
Messi, yeah.
I'd say Messi, you're Ronaldo.
Nah, not no more. He does me head in a bit.
Oh, that interview was mental, weren't it?
I think it was like a game to save me life.
Yeah.
And I'm going to build a team.
Ronnie.
Ronaldo's in it. Like, Ronaldo's in it. I think big game, obviously Messi's a big game player. That's just super, but like, I think he's just...
Messi for the pure... I mean, to be fair...
Messi's like more...
The old Ronaldo, for like the purity of football.
Mm.
When football was football...
Mm.
But like just like consistency and like just magical moments.
He's just a machine, isn't he, Cristiano?
He's down as a machine.
Haaland's a bit like that. Yeah. Then Mbappe, he's more of like not similar to Messi, but he's got a bit more skill. And
yeah,
a little bit. He's still a machine, I think. Mbappe compared to him. Messi's like a magician. He's like, it's not football. It's like he's doing his own thing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, you watch it. You watch slow mos of Messi. He's like still normal speed. And
his balance,
like,
I think, is mad.
It's
like,
nuts. So I'd say Messi if I had to choose. Defo.
Yeah, top shout. Did you have any superstitions as a footballer?
No, I didn't. You know, I used to, like, there's certain things, routine things that you do, but I didn't rely on those because I think sometimes you try them and then it wouldn't work and then you blame that. You just get confused, for me.
Yeah.
So I just used to try and prepare the same way. Maybe it was a superstition, but you just do the same thing, same process. I found every game was different. Sometimes you'd feel like shit or you didn't feel right and then you'd have a blinder. Sometimes you go into a game, I'm tip-top form and I just wouldn't go for it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So superstition just went off the window for me.
Did you ever get any like informs on FIFA or anything? Informs on FIFA or anything?
You have to clue me up on that, mate. What's that?
That's team of the week on FIFA. Judge, you're not playing.
I haven't played FIFA for years, you know. People send me them.
Yeah.
And send me like... Like, you get, like, our footy manager, I've made you, you're this fucking mad player. Footy manager. And you get sent them by fans and stuff, but I haven't played FIFA, because you know what? Some of my mates, heavy gamers, you know, and, like, you go around casually, but you get nowhere, lad. They were just class, mate. You know? So I just give up in the end.
Have you got any more questions, Luke?
No, actually, if you had to give a piece of advice to you at, like, 18... What would it be?
Oh, it's hard, especially at that age, because you've got so many voices, so many. You've got other players, you've got coaches telling you to do this. You've got your family in the back saying, "Oh, you need to do this." But I think, from me being in football, the difference makers, it's all about self-confidence, man. Like, no matter what, you've got to have that self-belief that you're gonna make it, you're gonna score that goal, you're gonna be the best player. You have to have that self-belief. The players that I've seen coming through young ages, they always had that self-belief from early. Like, no matter what you said, no matter what happened, like Shane Duffy, you know Shane?
Yeah.
Like, he's an example I use all the time. Him and Ross Barkley, like, they're not the brightest lads in the world, right? But they just always had super self-confidence. Like, no matter what happened, Shane Duffy he was a character. So he had that crazy injury at Everton.
And he died, didn't he?
Nearly died, but then he'd come back and he'd still be like diving in for headers and fucking mad tackles. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he'd end up in mad situations. He used to like a drink, Shane. There was a time sometimes I think at Blackburn he was about to get a move. I mean, his head had gone a little bit. So we didn't see him for like a week. He was just on a mad one. Honestly, yeah. But then I think he come back, he played, he scored an own goal one game, an own goal the next game. But then the next game he had a game on TV and he scored a mad, like, he had a blinder, got man of the match. So he's, no matter what happened, he always had that self-confidence.
Yeah.
And I think that sets players apart sometimes, just having that inner self-belief, no matter what, no matter how bad it's going, no matter whether the crowd's on your back, bad form, you can always pull out the bad because you've got that self-belief. That's what the better players always had from 16, 17, 18. Jose had it, Ross Barkley, I mean, he was playing when he was like 13, playing under 18, do you know what I mean? You could see from then.
Yeah.
But he just had confidence. He went arse.
Yeah.
Didn't care what anyone said. He just play his way.
Yeah.
And he just knew that he's got ability. I'm going to show it. And that's probably the advice I'd give. Self-belief and just, it's cliches, innit? But just knuckle down. Like,
yeah.
Football's a short career. Like, looking back now, it goes in the blink of an eye, do you know what I mean? So just, like, if you get opportunities, take them. Like, don't hold back. Focus, like, forget everything else for a little bit, do you know what I mean? Especially where we're from, Liverpool, like, it's like a tight bubble, innit?
Yeah.
Everyone knows everyone. Everyone's like, we live for the weekend. Well, it used to be heavy that way. Don't know what it's like now. With social media, it might be a bit different. But
definitely for me.
Is it? What do you mean?
First pint on a Friday.
There you go. So it was always like that. It was always like Saturday night, where are we going? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which wasn't the best thing, but I feel like if you want to get the best out of yourself, you've just got to like focus on you, stay clear, have a tunnel vision, have goals and go for it. That's what I'd say. Yeah. Self-belief's the key.
Yeah. And also, what's your favourite pint?
Favourite pint? I'm not a pint drinker, you know. Well, I'm not a pint drinker at all. I'm more a Disaronno. Darker.
A Disaronno sounds me saying.
Disaronno and Coke.
Dark rum, Coke, yeah. Rum and Coke, yeah. I'm more of a spirits guy, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good
choice. The beer one. It's not for me. I feel a bit heavy on the beers, you know. can have a cold beer or a lot of the lads. We used to go on Christmas do's in Ireland a lot of the time, so they love a Guinness.
Yeah.
So a Guinness with a bit of blackcurrant on top, I can handle.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good drink. Stiff drink, innit?
Yeah. It's like, well, nice one for coming on. That's been Bosta.
Yeah.
And if you've liked what you've seen, don't forget to like and subscribe, and also give us a 5-star review on Spotify.
And go to Plant Boost as well.
Yeah, Plant Boost. That's the place.